Conference is now being recorded.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting and welcome to the conference call on the half-year results 2021 of the Volksbank, hosted by Martijn Grübner, CEO, and John Reischer, CFO of the Volksbank. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask your questions. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Martijn Grübner. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. First, welcome. I want to welcome you to this call. Thank you for your time and interest in the Volksbank. What I want to do, with your permission, is give a key highlight where we are as a bank in total. Then give a perspective where we are against our strategy as presented February 12th. And then John will take you in a deep dive to our financials. Let me start. I'm now here the CEO of this bank, which I feel is an honored position, and I really came here for our mission. And our mission is we are a bank with a human touch, creating value for customers, society, employees, and shareholders, where our goal and our aim is for optimum total value, and we don't go for maximization of a single value. If you take that perspective of our values and our stakeholders, this is where we are if you take stock. We show promising progress on our shared values linked to our new strategy. If you look at the customer side, our net promoter score increased, and our active multi-customers increased as well. And that is crucial because having more products and service per customers helps with our bottom line as well. If you look at society, we are making strides on becoming climate neutral. We changed our methodology now fully to PCAF, but underlying, if you correct for that, we increased by 6%. If you look at our employees, remains very strong marks despite a COVID situation, despite the fact that we announced that we will, as a result of Agile, reduce our workforce with 400 to 500 employees in the next couple of years. Shareholder, a return on equity of 5.5%, higher than last half year, driven by just a regular bottom line, but in all honesty, also driven by free falls. And what we see is a continued pressure on our net interest income, which gives you as a bank, a retail bank, the dilemma that you need to start charging for your savings because we have an enormous amount of over liquidity. And we remain having a very strong capital position, and we have the intention to pay out dividends over 2019 and over 20. So in mixed bag, we see first sprouts of growth, that our strategy is working, but on the other side, we have to deal in a very strange economic situation, especially for the Dutch society, which is common not to pay for savings and has a saving nature. If you go against that strategy, and I'm now on slide five, our progress on the strategy on a high level, we assess against two pillars. One is the impact we have for our customers. Just for your awareness, one of our brands, Regio Bank, is positioned as the most customer-friendly bank in the Netherlands. Two of the other brands, SNS and ASN, were in the same top five. And ASN has the highest net promoter score of all banks in the Netherlands. And as I said before, we see an increase in active multi-customers. You see at the climate neutral balance, social impact, we issued, as you know, already senior non-preferred notes, but in total now of 1 billion under the green bond framework. In addition to PCAF, we also added another goal on biodiversity, even more important today than ever if you read the climate report, and we want to be neutral in 2030. Again, we want to be seen as the bank with the highest customer impact and the highest societal impact in the Netherlands, in that way offering an alternative to the Dutch banking society. If you look at our strategy, what is 2-4-5, two pillars and four brands. We have an opportunity, we have still growth opportunities to four brands. Where are we? If you look at ASN, we want to accelerate that growth, digital sustainable bank, and that's what we see. We also see that the number of investment customers is growing and that the fees out of commission income is growing as well. If you look at SNS, the biggest challenge is there is also to be attractive for a younger population. And when I have seen the successful introduction of money, which where we learn children to learn, you know, how to learn finance, and that we added 6,000 new current accounts. If you look at the Regio Bank, they organized the first National Village Summit. We remain our local presence together with SNS and Regio Bank. We have 700 shops, which we, in that way, we offer a high tech, high touch to our customers. And Regio Bank and SNS are a great outlet because, you know, a lot of our franchisors to attract small, medium firms. That's one of our growth opportunities, and we have seen growth there as well. On the BLG Wonen, that's more of a business-to-business brand, we have seen a growth in mortgage production because we had the service issues we are starting to repair. We're not there completely yet. And we continue to expand our distribution network. So after 6 months, on all sides, we see proof that the strategy is working, but again, it's initial stages. I hope by year end to give you a more solid perspective how solid this growth is, but it's very promising. That is the positive tale in this part. To cement this strategy or to power it, whatever English word you want to use, we have five necessary transformations, which we deploy at the same time in different speeds. One, digital and in terms of omnichannel, to ensure we have the basics in place, and we're getting there. You can read a few practical examples, because I want to be practical, but we're making strides on that end. By the way, we see also our number of digital contacts growing by 20 million the last 6 months, I believe. So it's catching up. One of the most crucial parts in terms of our strategy is to ensure that you offer, that you stimulate, that you help customers to have more products. Well, you should have those products. For example, we now offer investment accounts at SNS, which we didn't do 6 months ago. And you see directly that customers are picking up, and we see growth in that area. We also offer insurance products now, and we see an enormous growth in our small, medium loan portfolio. And SME for us is 10 to 12 people, so it's really the small SME population, which is 97%, by the way, of the Dutch market. That's where we see that high tech, high touch really works. So everything, acceptance is all centralized, located in Utrecht, but the discussions are happening on the local level in the shop. If you look at our customer bank foundation, we are developing a platform now for new modern products. We have a minimum viable product ready, and we are implementing a new data warehouse for finance and risk information. To the customer focus, we are implementing, as we speak, an agile organization. Request for information is the detailed request for information will be submitted to our employee council, but we are making the progress we want. And at the same time, fitting with the new strategy, we are also in the process of formation of our new leadership teams, based on assessments of individuals, but also based on what you need as a total team in terms of diversity. And on the efficient and the flexible, we're working on the realization of efficiency gains. Agile is, if you become more agile, you implement that, that will result, as we said, in a loss of 400 to 500 full-time equivalents. And we are in the midst of determining our sourcing strategy. What do we need to do ourselves, and what areas is the market just better in what we do ourselves? If you summarize and now slide 8, where we are against our strategy, again, on the customer side, positive movements. On active multi-customers, positive movements. On climate neutral, positive moments. On gender and attention of employees, positive moments. Return on equity, yes, higher than last 6 months. However, we are very hit hard by the excess liquidity. And as I said before, I cannot rule out that we have to charge savings account at a lower rate than 100,000 euro at the moment. We just cannot rule out, which is an enormous dilemma. Capital remains strong, and our cost-income ratio increased. It increased 10%, 5% due to levies, and 5% due to investment in our strategy, predominantly service center mortgage to increase service in the SME business, which also has income against it, and also partly because we invest in Mondri activities as we shoot. That summarizes basically on a high level where we are, and I'll gladly now turn over to John to walk you through the more financial details. John, floor is yours.
Thank you, Martin. Also on behalf of me, good morning to everyone. I would like to take you on slide 10 to say the asset side of our balance sheet, make it a part of it, the residential mortgage portfolio. The portfolio increased marginally by 100 million to 46.3 billion. I would say a healthy growth in new mortgage production, which was broadly offset by redemptions and other changes. In the first half of this year, residential mortgages grew by 0.3 billion to 3.3 billion. And having said that, mortgage redemptions also increased by 0.2 billion to 3.1 billion. This last development is driven by an increase in the mortgage refinancing market and a relatively high number of people moving houses. And in addition, I would say that due to an increasing share of the annuity mortgages compared to the interest-only mortgages that we produced in the past, we will see contractual repayments gradually increasing over time. On slide 11, I'd like to put the mortgage portfolio in relation to the market, also the development of the portfolio. And if you look at this, the mortgage market in the Netherlands in the first half of this year, there was a strong increase in market. Our market share in new residential mortgage production decreased to 4.9%. Comparing it by the whole of to the whole of 2020, a development driven by competition, first of all, fierce competition, and secondly by the increasing demand for mortgages with long fixed rate terms over 15 years and longer, and that's a segment of the market where traditionally Volksbank and other banks are less strong and experience a lot of competition from institutional investors. Comparing our market share to our market share in the second half of last year, we see a growth 4.9% to 4.6% over the second half of last year, and this increase is also driven by the investments Martijn related to in our service center mortgages. On the total portfolio basis, the market share of residential mortgages is estimated at 6.1% by the end of the first half of this year, marginally lower compared to the level of end of 2020. On the graph of the in the right-hand side on slide 11, you see the development of our main funding source being retail savings, and there you see a strong increase with 2.6 billion to 44.7 billion. And that is also driven by growth of the market and less by growth of our market share, although that increased slightly from 10.8% to 11%. But under the influence of COVID, we see all across the board higher savings by businesses and by private individuals. And in a nutshell, I would say that these two pictures show the biggest challenge that the bank has ahead of it in terms of our balance sheet, because this drives our excess liquidity. We simply are not capable in generating enough growth in our business fast enough to absorb this growth in our savings inflows, and leaving us no other opportunity than to deposit these excess liquidity at the central bank at unfortunately negative rates at the moment, and giving pressure on our net interest income. And that more or less forced us to charge, as from 1 July this year, to both private and business customers with deposits in excess of 100,000 euro, to charge them 0.5% of interest. This will affect approximately 6 billion of the 45 billion savings portfolio and roughly 4% of our savings customers. On slide 12, I would like to elaborate a little bit more on the growth targets the bank has. Martijn already said that we want to increase the number of customers and the number of products that we sell to our customers, and we are happy to see that in the first half of this year, roughly 130,000 new customers were welcomed by the different brands of the Volksbank, and the net growth at the end of the day was 60,000 and higher compared to the first half of last year. To measure our customer relationship, we have an indicator in place, which is the number of active multi-customers, and we set a target there for the end of 2025 at 1.3 million, and the development in the first half, growth of 29,000 to 978,000, is in line with reaching this target before year end 25. After this insight into the development of the balance sheet of the bank, I would like to go into a bit more detail with regard to the profit and loss. On slide 13, you see that comparing the result of the net profit of this first half of this year to the first half of last year, net profit decreased by 12 million to 94 million. And the bigger developments there are a lower total income of 63 million lower and a 30 million higher total operating expenses. And these both negative developments were partly compensated by a 76 million swing in impairment charges. Overall, this leads to a return on equity of 5.5%, being lower than the 6.2% of the first half of 2020, driven mainly by the lower net profit. And all in all, I would say that this level is satisfying, be it of course that it was driven by the reversal of impairment charges. On slide 14 there, you'll find a breakdown of the development of total income. It went down by 13%, mainly due to pressure on net interest income. As mentioned before, the net interest income declined by 44 million, which is a minus of 10%, mainly as a result of lower income from mortgages, because we produce at lower interest rates than average, reflecting also a high number of renewals, also early renewals at lower rates. And in addition, of course, the interest paid on liquidity deposited with the central bank or financial institutions also rose because of our excess liquidity. And those elements were only partially compensated by higher compensation for loss of interest on account of early repayments. The amount rose to 38 million compared to 30 million over the first half of last year. Of course, we had on average low interest expenses on our savings account, and there was a reclassification of franchise fees paid by the Regiobank. All in all, net interest margin, which is the total net interest income divided by average total balance sheet, declined from 135 basis points to 114 basis points. Net fee and commission income, one of the pillars also where our strategy wants to increase. We showed on paper a 9 million decrease to 20 million, but this was more than due, I would say, to the reclassification of the franchise fees paid by Regiobank. If we exclude for this reclassification, the fee and commission income rose by 4 million And the biggest driver after this behind this development was higher assets under management. Our investment income showed a swing from 8 million positive to 2 million negative over the first half of this year. This was driven by lower realized results on fixed income investments that we sold as part of our asset and liability management and optimization of the investment portfolio. The result on financial instruments was stable at 7 million. There were two different trends, lower treasury results compensated by higher results from hedging effectiveness. Zooming in on page 15 on operating expenses, we see a rise of 10%. Martijn already mentioned it. Bear in mind that this 30 million consists of 16 million, so a little more than half of levies we had to pay, regulatory levies we had to pay. Adjusted for these regulatory levels, levies operating expenses increased with 5%, 14 million, driven by higher staff expenses as a result of increasing FTEs, foremost in relation to the implementation execution of the strategic plan. This growth was partly compensated by a positive revaluation of 8 million for a previous contribution we had made to the deposit guarantee scheme in relation to the insolvency of DSB Bank. Regulatory levy, 60 million higher asset, 13 million in relation to our ex-ante contribution to the deposit guarantee scheme. Of course, has to do with the rise, the strong rise in our the savings accounts at the bank, and the contribution to the resolution fund is more or less related to the total balance sheet that also grew, was 3 million higher at 11 million. The number of the growth in FTEs, both internally and externally, as I mentioned it, you could see that in areas as IT, supporting the transition to this new agile way of working, which would lead to lower FTEs in the future, as said, and our SME finance proposition. And from a more business as usual perspective, I would say there was growth in FTEs with regard to our gatekeeper role, so in customer integrity, and in the service center mortgages, where we want to improve, where we improved the back and mid office processes to give a better product to our intermediaries, and thereby supporting our growth targets. As said, and you'll see some details on slide 16, there was a large swing, a reversal in loan impairment charges. This first half, there was a release of 31 million compared to a 45 million charge on the first half of 2020. This reversal, mostly in the, of course, in the residential mortgage loans, being the largest part of our asset base, amounted there to 21 million. This development is a result of improved economic outlook and most notably higher residential house prices that we experienced. The development was partly offset by the application of an expert overlay. We had that in 2020 already, but we increased that expert overlay as a result of the ongoing, I would say, uncertainties around the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. On the quality of our asset portfolio, we see a further decline of the loan-to-value, of course, driven by the development in housing prices, but also the volume of the arrears also dropped further to below 400 million. Zooming in on our CET1 capital ratio and our leverage ratio developments, we see the CET1 capital ratio decreased to 28.3%, mainly due to an increase in risk-weighted assets, but also slightly influenced by a CET1 capital decrease of 29 million being the combination of the addition of the net profit over the second half year of last year, and on the other hand, offset it by the estimated impact of the new EBA guideline on definition of default, and by the most recent impact estimate of the update of the advanced internal rating based model with which we calculate the solvency of our residential mortgages. The asset risk-weighted assets increased roughly €1 billion, also largely due to the estimated impact of the update of our AIRB model. The estimated impact at 30th June was amounted to €1.2 billion, comparing to €0.6 billion at year end 20. This rise of €0.6 billion can be divided from two causes. First of all, a little over €400 million based on the impact estimate of the updated AIRB model, and €175 million with regard to the impact of the new EBA guideline on the definition of default. Our let's say leverage ratio, so the non-risk-weighted solvency measure, is decreased to 5.1%. Due to this decrease, the small decrease in CET1 capital, and only a limited increase of the leverage ratio exposure measure. Please bear in mind that the ECB in June of this year prolonged its temporary COVID-19 relief measure with which banks can exclude certain central bank exposures from the leverage ratio calculation. It was postponed to end of March next year, and BND of Volksbank uses this relief measure. And although not of influence on our capital position, because it's out of scope from our capital, and Martijn already said that following the ECB statement of 23rd of July of this year to not extend its dividend recommendation to exercise extreme prudency, we intend to pay the remaining part of our dividend 2019 and the 2020 dividend, total amount of €249 million, to our shareholders in the fourth quarter of this year. On slide 18, there's a little bit more detail in the development of our CET1 ratio and some information about the impact of the fully phased in Basel IV. I would draw your attention to the minus 0.9% with regard to the credit risk RWA. This is, has to do with our excess liquidity. So to a certain extent, we use the excess liquidity for and put it at financial institutions at a risk weight, and the minus 1.6% as an effect of the update of our AIRB model. And if based on the balance sheet position at the 30th of June, we estimate that as a result of fully phasing in Basel IV standards, our risk-weighted assets will increase by approximately 22.5%, which consequently reduces our CET1 capital ratio to approximately 5 percentage points to 23%, and still a good and solid level. And in response, by the way, to this COVID-19 pandemic, the Basel implementation has been postponed by 1 year. And another measure that will influence our solvency ratio is that in anticipation of Basel IV, DNB announced in October 29 that it would increase the minimum floor on the risk weights of the mortgage loans portfolio of Dutch banks, especially using internal risk models. In May of this year, DNB announced that this measure will take effect from 1 January 2022, and final arrangements regarding duration and possible extensions are expected in the course of the third quarter of this year. Combining this all to an outlook for the rest of this year, so for the whole of 2021, we expect the decline in interest income to continue as a result of lower interest income on mortgages in the sustained low interest rate environment. The pressure on net interest income will be partly absorbed by the increased charging of negative interest rate. As mentioned, we started at 1 July. but all in all, net interest income in 2021 is expected to be lower than in 2020. Operating expenses in the second half of this year are also expected to be higher compared to the first half, mainly driven by increasing expenses related to our new strategy. And as a result, operating expenses, excluding, by the way, one of the restructuring charges we took in 2020 for the agile way of working, are expected to be higher in 2021 compared with 2020 level. There, of course, is a big disclaimer with regard to this development, and that is the economic development in the Netherlands and the consequences for the financial resilience of our customers whose incomes have been cut by the crisis are highly uncertain, which may impact at the end of the day our credit loss provisioning. Having said that, we are of the opinion that given our loan risk profile, impairment charges on loans and advances are projected to be substantially lower in 2021 compared to last year. And summarizing this all things considered, we expect the net profit for 2021 as a whole to be lower compared to 2020. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I think, operator, we are open for questions, so please feel free to ask any question you have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, please press star one now on your telephone. Your questions will be answered in the order that they are received. So for your questions or remarks, star one now on your telephone. Go ahead, please. We have a question coming through from Mr. Cor Klaus, ABN AMRO Oddo. Go ahead, sir, your line is open.
Hello, good morning. This is Cor Klaus, ABN AMRO Oddo. A couple of questions. First of all, indeed, on the savings, which rose at around 6% year to date. You mentioned, of course, that on 11% of the savings, you're going to charge negative rates, and you keep it as an open opportunity to reduce that level somewhat further, as we've seen it at other banks. Question is more, what other actions are you taking to cope with this? We've seen some other banks that are trying to sell other products to the clients that came over. It's good to hear that you say something about that you have an investment account now that you also offer to clients, maybe as a credit card. So can you explain something that you could do extra fee income or other fees or incomes from those products that have been coming over from probably other banks to your company? That's my first question. The second question is on Basel IV. I think at the full year results, you mentioned that Basel IV ratio would be around 24%, and now it's around 23%. Where is that mostly driven by? You mentioned you put excess liquidity at financial institutions. You also mentioned the AIRB model update. What's the most important reason why that Basel IV ratio is 1 percentage point lower? And could it reverse, for example, on the excess liquidity on the financial institutions? My third question is on the FTEs that have been rising by around 9% since mid last year. And indeed, going forward, you want to reduce it by 400 to 450. But still, the total FTE level is I think, around 500. Higher than the old plans had, which were presented in 2016. So why is that FTE base going up, and how structural is that? Or were the plans in the past maybe a little bit too ambitious? And the last question is about the technical figure, prepayment penalties. How much was that in the first half of the year? And bank levies, what would that be in the second half of this year? Because bank levies went up quite a lot in the first half, I think 65% year on year. Could you give some indication on bank levies in the second half of the year? So, quite a couple of questions, but and that's it from my side.
Thanks for your questions. I try to summarize them at the same time because the connection is always not the most brilliant. So let me start. The first question, I will combine your two of the questions, and I'll ask John to address the other. So your first question was, besides charging for savings accounts, what other measures to deal with a declining interest rate. Your first question was, explain the increase of your FTE. To what degree are they related to your strategy? Your second question was Basel IV. What are the dynamics there with Basel IV? And the last question was about repayments. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. Thank you.
I want to be sure I got the question. So thanks again for your question. Let me start with number one. Key in our strategy is to we still have growth opportunities through our four brands. One of the reasons there, because we didn't reach our national market share, or we just didn't offer the products. What you see there is the positive side here, and they're called sprouts, because it is not yet a summer, that you see that our mortgage book was declining, and the declining is starts. We start seeing that it stopped and slightly start growing. So that's one. Secondly, we see that our SME book is already the growth is already as large up to date as the complete last year. We have just a delay because of COVID. You see that the assets under management are growing. Why? Because we are offering investment products more through SMS and through ASN. So that's where you see the growth. However, that growth never offsets the enormous growth in over excess liquidity. What we do in addition to those measures is look at our financial markets, look at investment opportunities, which all should be societal proof in terms of investments. But even then, that never counterbalances at the moment the excess liquidity, for sure not if your perspective is that the interest will not grow spectacular in the next part. So, having said that, yes, we are focusing full-fledged on growing our business where we still see opportunities of growth, and we see proof for that with clear results. Yes, we're investing heavily we look at the treasury, at all areas where we can fuel our income. However, we will not risk our risk profile. We are operating in a robust risk profile. We don't want to decrease that. And secondly, we are willing, unfortunately, we have to take measures to charge your savings account. So that's the answer. On the FTE side, two things. We invested in our service center because the service was not on par. But against those investments is measurable income. The same you see at our SME business. And on top of that, we had to invest in that, as you know, of all banks, in money laundering, customer integrity. So that's where the other part of the investment is. So that's the story of the FTEs. And in terms of your life, I first wanted to check now, did I answer those two questions for you before I get to work?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. And the other question is Basel IV. I just want to stress one thing. The threshold is 14%, and the full-fledged then at 24.3%, we are extremely highly capitalized. By the way, we also got money from our taxpayers to spend that money wise. So we feel an obligation to really focus on implementing our strategy and pay back in the end the money that tax holders gave. I just want to make that sure we take that very serious. John, I couldn't control myself with this remark.
Thank you, Martijn. Your question on the fully phasing in effect of Basel IV leading to today to a pro forma CET1 ratio of a little over 23% coming from earlier expectations that we would end at 24%. Yes, driven, of course, first of all, by this new estimated impact of our the updated models. Also, on excess liquidity, could this be reversed? I would say if we succeed, so there could be two trends, I would say, and especially with regard to excess liquidity. First of all, it remains to be seen what will happen with the savings volume in general in the Netherlands if and when we finally get rid of COVID, so spending starts again. Perhaps driving the total savings amounts down. And secondly, we will try to use excess liquidity, as Martijn just mentioned, in the core of our business. So if we succeed in growth in our mortgage portfolio, then if you take the risk-weighted level of a mortgage compared to the standardized approach we use, for instance, for financial institutions, that will drive up the final outcome. All in all, of course, uncertain, but we feel very comfortable also still with a level of 23% Basel IV fully phased-in level. Your questions on prepayment penalties. In the first half of this year, it was 38 million, driven by higher earlier and earlier repayments. Over the whole of 2020, it amounted to 56 million, of which 30 million was gained in the first half of the year. It's of course hard to say how this will develop over the whole of the year, but we think, as said, that the sustaining low interest rate environment will still give impetus to our clients to make use of early repayment possibilities, and therefore driving the total penalty level upwards. Bank levies higher at 16 million higher over the first half of this year. I must say that I'm not, up to knowledge with regard to the development over the second half of this year. But comparing it to the levy, to the level of the first half year, as I look to my colleagues, it will be the same or a little bit lower.
Lower
in total, thank you, compared to last year. Did we answer the questions?
Only the last piece. Will the levies in the second half of the year be lower than the second half of last year?
So there's a timing issue, I think, with regard to some of the contributions.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions or remarks, you can still press star 1 on your telephone at any time. Star 1 for your questions or remarks. Go ahead, please. We have no further questions at this time, sir. Please continue.
Well, there are no further questions. I just want to thank you for your questions. I want to thank you for your time and your interest in our bank. And we will meet each other next year. But if you have any other questions in between, feel free to reach out to Restore Investor Relations. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call on the half-year results 2021 of the Volksbank. Thank you for your attendance. You may now disconnect your line. Have a very nice day.